Our reading can be found in the book of Jude, which is on page 1231 in your church Bibles. And I'm going to start reading at verse 5. Though you already know all of this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe. And the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home, these he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains for judgment on that great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example to those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel Michael, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring a slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand. And what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them. They've taken the way of Cain. They have rushed for profit into Balaam's error. They have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. These men are blemishes at your love feasts, eating with you without the slightest qualm. Shepherds who feed only themselves. They are clouds without rain, blown along by the wind. Autumn trees without fruit and uprooted, twice dead. They are wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. Wandering stars, for whom blackest darkness has been reserved forever. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all the ungodly of all the ungodly acts they have done in the ungodly way and of all the harsh words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These men are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Did we pray for Lord rain on me this morning? I have to speak up a little bit. Good morning, brothers and sisters. Isn't that a nice greeting, brothers and sisters? I'm just kicking off with the message we heard last week, that we're gathered together, family, and that's what we are, a family, aren't we, together, contending for Christ. So just have a look around a moment. Just have a look at your brothers and sisters. Just think of each other in a different way. We are brothers and sisters. Just have a friendly greeting. Greet someone and or say hello to someone you don't know so well. So, how do you feel about being in a family rather than in church? It's good to remind ourselves that church isn't an organisation. It's not a regular gathering place or a building for us to gather together to worship. Church is a family. God's family, as we heard last week, we're gathered together to contend for Christ. It's a family that is worldwide. It's eternal. It's eternally wide. It's a timeless, dearly loved family of those that God has chosen and called into relationship with himself. So in coming to church today, welcome to your spiritual home. Do you feel at home? Yeah? With the company we've got, with the people around you, both those that you can see and the one that you can't see. I'm going to offer you hope today. Hope, H-O-P-E. Four main points to consider when we're thinking about the book of Jude. So We've got three talks on this. Last week was great. It was fantastic. How wonderful church is. How we're a gathered together family. Next week we're going to have good news. And you've just seen the reading I've got to preach on. So I'd like to ask for your permission to break the first rule that we were taught at Reader College, when I went to Reader training. You stick to the words that you've just heard and you preach on it. Can I have your permission not to do that today? Is that all right? Can we talk about how to avoid that rather than thinking about some of the things that were going on? So I'm going to offer you some hope, H-O-P-E. H, home, that's where we are today. We're a home as a family. O, we need to be on our guard. P, I've got some practical suggestions to help us today on our daily walk with the Lord. And E, I'd like to offer you some encouragement. So H, home, we are home at church. So relax, you're at home. Relax, as if you was at home, putting the telly on, just relax. And I hope the sermon isn't that boring that you fall asleep in front of the telly. But the moment you and I received Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, a number of things happened instantly. God became your Heavenly Father. We became God's adopted, chosen children. And all the fellow believers, both in this church, when you hear, you meet believers out and about, you hear believers throughout the world, going to any church in the world, and we're all together we're a one worldwide family. So fellow believers, wherever you may be, they're all brothers and sisters. And the church has become your family. Now here at St Mary's, we may be just a very small gathering from an eternal and worldwide perspective, but each and every one of us here today can be confident that we're dearly loved children, and that, as we heard last week, mercy, peace and love from God are ours in abundance. God loves each and every one of us. And as God's children, we know from Scripture that God wants us to remain in a relationship with Him, and He wants us to grow up spiritually. He doesn't want us to stay where we are, He wants us to grow. Here at St Mary's, our activities are all designed to help us to learn from God's Word and from each other how we can gain knowledge and understanding of God's plans and purposes for us on our spiritual journeys, so that we can grow up and become mature, both as individual followers and as a family. But as we've heard from this morning's reading, did you hear the warnings? It was pretty gloomy, wasn't it? When I read through that and thought, I've got to preach on this. Give it a try sometime. There's a danger that wrong practices and behaviour can creep into church life. So that's the H, home. O, on guard. We need to be on guard. I'm not going to dwell on the issues arising in Jude's letter, other than just to remind us that some people in the church's fellowship were causing concern. These are the words that Jude wrote. They are ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into a license for immorality and deny Jesus Christ as our only sovereign Lord. So, this raises a big question for us, doesn't it? How do we, as a community of believers, contending for Christ together, both individually and as a church family, ensure that we are fulfilling God's purposes in accordance with His will and are on our guard against error? I'd suggest we've got no greater weapon against error and misunderstanding than God's word. Paul encourages us to pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, in our struggle against the enemy. And we're going to have a sermon series in the summer about that. So I'd welcome you all to come along to that, learning how to defend ourselves. This is the one part of the armour that is offensive. We can take the battle to the enemy. The sword of the Spirit, God's word. So one of the greatest weapons that we have in our possession as Christian soldiers is the word of God. Why is this? You've got a Bible in front of you? In John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus himself said, "The words I have spoken to you are full of spirit and life." Full of spirit and full of life. The words are alive. The Bible is active. The words are alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. Think about that for a moment. God's word is powerful. Through God spoke, he spoke a word, and what happened? The world was created. The universe was created. Psalm 33:6 says this: "By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, their starry host, by the breath of his mouth." God spoke, and the universe was created. It goes on to say, "For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood firm." And it's still standing firm now, and it always will, until God decides the time's ready for him to recreate it. God's word tells us of our origin. We know where we came from. He planned us. He knew about us even before we were conceived. He had a plan for each and every one of us. It tells of his loving care for us now in this life. And he's got plans for the world in the future as well, and for each one of us. Specific plans. Nothing happens by chance or accident with God. It's all planned, everything. We might think things are an accident or how did that happen? God knew it was going to happen. And God's word gives us guidance in living. God's word offers us forgiveness. God's word gives us righteousness. It gives us hope. It gives us direction in our lives. And it gives us purpose. We need purpose. And God's word comforts us in difficulties and gives us reassurance when we're worried. The more we live in and become familiar with God's word, the more we'll be on our guard against wrong understandings or practices creeping in. Are you convinced? Is it worth looking at? Is it worth thinking about? Is it worth living in? So I'll give you some practical suggestions now. This is the P in hope. The few practical suggestions on walking daily with the Lord. I may well mention things that you're doing already, and that's absolutely fine, but sometimes it's good to hear it anyway. Good practice is always worth remembering. So suggestion number one, at the start of each day, offer the day ahead to the Lord. Ask him to help you throughout the day. And ask, most importantly, ask him to give you an awareness that he's there with you. Yes, we've just prayed and talked about Jesus being with us in this service. We're not going to leave this service and then he disappears. He'll be there with you 24 hours, all today, through the night as well. He'll be there. Anytime we can turn to him. Another suggestion. Make sure that every day, no matter what happens, there's two little things to try and do each day. Learn a little bit more about God and learn to love him a little bit more. If the day's an absolute disaster with everything else, whatever else is going on in your life with circumstances, if you achieve those two little targets, know God a little bit more and love Jesus a little bit more, that's been a good day. Another little suggestion. There's an ancient practice that's been worked on through the centuries of using breath prayers. That is, take a few devotional words and get into the habit of repeating them throughout the day to remind you of the Lord's presence with you. Just one or two examples. Lord, you are with me. Lord, I receive your grace. Lord, I depend on you. But if you've done a Bible study in the morning, there might be a phrase that seems good for you for the day. Create your own breath prayers to remind you that he's with you. The next suggestion, you've probably heard this one before. Daily reading of the Bible. Read the Bible every day. There's so many helps. If you just look online, I use Nikki Gumbel's Bible in 1 year. That's fabulous. 15, 20 minutes a day and you can read the Bible in 1 year. And it's well worth looking at. That gives you the depth of or it gives you the width, if you like, of the Bible. And then studying is something different. That's the depth. But every day, read the Bible. Romans 12:2 says this to us. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. One of God's purposes is for us to become increasingly more like Jesus. And the biggest step that we can take in achieving this is to gradually change the way we think. Nothing will change until we learn how to change our thinking. Our thoughts generate our actions and our feelings, so we need to think differently. And the more time we spend in his all-powerful, life-creating word, the more our thinking and outlook on life will become aligned with Christ's. So spend time in his word, and it'll help you change the way you think. And one final suggestion, meditate on God's word. Throughout the Bible, there's so many encouragements for us to do this. It's a good place to start, Psalm 1. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. It doesn't say spend 15 minutes and struggle along with the word. Blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Take delight in it. This is the one who loves you, and he wants you to know just how much he loves you. Delight in it. And it says elsewhere in the Bible, delight in the Lord, who will give you the desires of your heart. So delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires, and he will have put those desires there in the first place. So that's a little win-win, that is. A question for you. Is there anyone here today that has ever worried about anything? Oh, you're more honest than the 9 o'clock. One person had said they'd worried. One person accepted that they'd worried. So, if you can worry, you can meditate. Worry is the practice of going over and over concerns in your mind. And meditation is exactly the same, but you take the concerns out and put God's word in. You know how to do it. If you're a worrier, you can also a meditator. You can do it. Meditation isn't complicated. It's a simple practice for any of us to do it at any time. If you're blowing the car's tyres up like I had to yesterday, or doing the washing up, or anything you're doing, you can be meditating. Just take a single word, or take a verse of scripture, and just ponder on it. Just wrestle over it. You know, it's like when you go out for a meal and it's a really nice food and you take your time with it and you chew it over and you enjoy that meal. That's what we should be doing with God's word. Don't rush it, don't wallop it down and move on to the next thing. Read the word and then think about it and let God speak to you through the word. That's meditation. It's simple. It's not for spiritual giants. It's for each and every one of us. Learn to meditate. Go on to the E, so H-O-P-E, encouragement. Life can be very difficult at times, don't we all know that? And we may find our faith being tested in any number of ways. Please don't be discouraged if you're going through challenging circumstances at the moment. Remember that the God of the universe is in control of everything. And he knows exactly what you're going through. Be encouraged that God, as your loving parent, is fully aware of your situation. It's already been said in this service, I think. He knows the number of hairs on our head. God knows everything about you. And that he's right beside us to strengthen and encourage you. God's silence doesn't mean God's absence. Sometimes God steps back and waits for us to find him. He's encouraging us to realise that he is the one that can answer every situation in our lives. And God uses difficulties in our lives to bring us ever closer to him. They help us to appreciate that God truly is with us, that he's on our side, and that everything that ever happens in our lives is for our ultimate benefit. It may be difficult, but that's the way it is. Romans 8:28 says this: we know that in all things, not some things, all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Everything that happens in our lives, it's for our good. So thank God even for the difficulties. And James, Jesus' brother himself, said this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. There's countless words like this that tell us that we will go through difficulties. That's life. You get over one problem, there's another one waiting. But stay with the Lord, because he'll stay with you. And God is always interested in our ultimate well-being and knows that if we trust him in difficult times, we will find our character being developed. We are becoming more Christ-like. And our character is the only thing that we take into the next life. So to God, that's more important than anything else. I've prayed it many times. Lord, I need comfort. But rather than comfort, I've heard the suggestion the last couple of days. Pray, Lord, help me to conform. Not for comfort, but let me conform with your will. And God is looking for us to develop resilience and the determination to keep going in our walk of faith. It may be difficult at times, but the more hard times we go through, the stronger we're getting and the closer we get into the Lord. So if things are difficult for you at the moment, remember, as we said at the start, you're surrounded by a church family. And when one member of the family is suffering, the family is affected too. So share your challenges with the Lord and with your brothers and sisters. There'll be an opportunity to get prayer afterwards. If you feel prayer support will be helpful for you. Receive prayer after the service today and trust your loving Lord. He's there with you. Shall we just pray for a moment? Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can call you Father and that you've drawn us into your family home here today. Help us to receive your love and help us to be drawn ever closer to you. Father, as your nature is so loving, help us to become more loving. And as we become more loving, may we become more like you every day. Help us to keep ourselves and our fellowship true to your word and to contend for your Son every day. Bless any member of our church family who are undergoing trials. May your blessing rest on them and give us the discernment to come alongside those needing support. Thank you, Lord. We bless and praise you in Jesus' name.